Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Please turn in your Bibles to the 8th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the 8th chapter. Good to see all of you. We have some of ours that are away today, but we have been supplemented very well by visitors, and we're proud to have all of you here today with us, and we want you to stay around for a little while. Let us get to know you a little bit better, because we appreciate your presence and would really like to know where you've come from and why you've chosen to be with us today, because we're here to study the Word of God. We're here to apply it to our lives and put us in a situation where we can teach it to other people. So if that's the reason you've come, you've come to the right place today. In the last verse of chapter 8 in the book of Jeremiah, and as you recall, Jeremiah lives at a very discouraging time. He's sometimes called the weeping prophet because he is in turmoil much of the time in the book. He is discouraged because the message that he has to proclaim is a message of discouragement for the people, because as the Babylonians are now ready to conquer the southern kingdom of Judah, it's his task to tell the people to give up. Don't fight. God is bringing his punishment upon us, and this is what you need to prepare for. And that's a message that gets him in trouble with his own people. In verse 22, in one of those situations, he asks the question, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has not the health of the daughter of my people been restored?" Gilead was that area that was the wild, wild east in the land of Israel. It was east of the Jordan River, and it was an area that was not densely populated. It was an area that was generally high plateau, was dry much of the year. It turns green, oddly enough, in the wintertime, where the sun is not quite so hot and where the rain can bring out green vegetation. But it was an area that was also known because of the therapeutic herbs that grew there that could be made into a balm or kind of a salve that people could take and could put on their bodies and make it to where pain could go away down deep. Or you could take a skin wound and be able to put it on there, and it had healing properties. Because balm was easily made in an area where you had these therapeutic herbs, there were a lot of physicians there who would train in the use of those kinds of herbs. And here, as he's talking about spiritual ailments, Jeremiah says, "Is there no balm in Gilead?" What, have they run out of medicine in Gilead? They've run out of medicine in Gilead. We're in bad shape. Is there no physician there? Don't they have doctors there anymore? Then why then is not the health of my daughter, the daughter of my people, restored? Those problems, serious problems, problems that were going to cause the death and the captivity of many of the people in Judah. And Jeremiah speaks to that with despair in his voice when he asks the question, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Are there no physicians there?" One of the good things about this passage, though, is I think it alludes to the fact that one day the great physician would be provided. Do you remember in the 9th chapter of the book of Matthew in verse 12, there when Jesus is challenged about being and associated with sinners, he says it's not the healthy who need a physician, but the sick. And he serves as that great physician who's able to heal what ails mankind. Questions asked, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? While there may not have been one there, while the time may have expired for the nation of Judah, It points ahead to the time when there would be a great physician who would serve as the answer. And Christ is the answer to what ails mankind. I want us to look at just a few things this morning from passages in the New Testament to let us understand the great healing properties that exist in the balm that Jesus provides. I'm not talking about balm, B-O-M-B. I'm talking about balm, B-A-L-M, like lip balm or like a salve is sometimes referred to as a balm. And here Jesus provides that and provides it perfectly. Do you remember in the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, we see that Jesus there serves as the great physician, serves as the solution for what ails mankind by being rest for the weary. You see, in this great challenge that he makes in the 11th chapter, there in the last three verses, he says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take your yoke upon you and take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Who does he call to be relieved? He calls those who are weary and heavy laden, and he says, "I'll give you rest." Have you ever been so tired that you felt sick physically? Did you ever spend an all-nighter studying for a final, and you wound up getting up the next day, and you just felt sick at your stomach, and you knew better than to call in sick because it was such an important test, the teacher probably wouldn't believe you. So you wound up with a sick stomach going into class to take the most important test you'd have in the whole course. Have you ever worked so hard during the day that it just made every muscle in your body ache? And you felt weary, not just of body, but of spirit. And here we see Jesus calls out and says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." Yoke was something that bound oxen together as they pulled a plow or a wagon. Here is the yoke described, probably not in that sense, but it was also described in teaching. If you took a particular teacher's course, you took his yoke upon you. And here he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light." Are you wore out today? Has sin taken you and worn you to a frazzle? Are you in a situation in which you feel just sick because of the burdens that life has placed on you and you feel like it's more than you can stand? Let me tell you, the physician that you need, the balm for your ill, lies in Jesus Christ, taking his yoke upon you and learning from him, because he can provide rest for your souls in a way that no one else can. Sin weighs us down. I've heard it described as every time we sin, it's like a rock going in a burlap bag that we're carrying over our shoulders. First, it may not seem that heavy, but over the years, it gets so heavy that it becomes something that we can't be ambulatory and still carry the bag. You know what Jesus does? He takes our yoke away, and he gives us a yoke that's light, a yoke that's easy, and one that can provide rest for our souls. If you need spiritual rest this morning, and you need to have the hope of looking forward to an ultimate rest with the Lord one day, you've come to the right place, because Jesus is that great physician who can provide rest for the weary. In the 10th chapter of the book of John, in verse 10, there Jesus says, I came that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. You heard about the fellow one time who was watching the rich man being buried, and this fellow was not only rich, but eccentric, and he wanted to be buried in his Cadillac. I don't know what kind of an undertaker they got for him, but they got one that embalmed him in a seated position. And there he sat in the seat of his Cadillac, arm hanging out the window of the convertible, as they made an especially big hole for him to lower him into the ground. And a couple of guys walked by the cemetery and they said, boy, that's living. Well, no, it's not. Even if they bury you in a Cadillac, you're still graveyard dead. Unless you go to the one who has life and life more abundantly. Not only life that allows you to be animated, but life that allows you to live the best life here and the best life that you can live by and by. A life that means something here because it's working toward the goal that we have of pleasing God and being with Him one day. A life that doesn't end when they nail the box lid down, but one in which we continue to live. We continue to serve God and we continue to sing His praises day and night forever and ever and ever. You despair for your life? Jesus is that great physician that provides the balm that not only can extend your physical life, but can give you eternal life for those that are spiritually dead. In the 19th chapter of the book of Luke, in verse 9, Jesus mentions that He had come to seek and save that which was lost. Do you feel lost today? Do you not know which way you're going? Most people in this world are spiritually lost. And I don't want you to think about that simply in terms of a synonym for being condemned, but I want you to think about it in terms of what that means. Have you ever been lost before? I remember when I was in high school, we were living up north, and our high school band got to go on a 45-day concert tour of Europe. We had to raise a lot of money for it, which in 1971 was just several hundred dollars apiece. But let me tell you, we worked hard for it, and we had a fantastic trip over there. It was kind of low-budget trip. I remember they gave us $2 a day to eat on. That generally accounted for one meal, and I lost weight over there. Now, don't laugh. It could have happened. Well, anyway, we were over there, and I got lost one day. We were in Salzburg, Austria. And there's a river that runs right down the middle of Salzburg, Austria. A friend of mine that I went out with decided that he wanted to go drinking, and I didn't do that kind of thing. So I said, I'll just go back to the hotel. And so I started walking back to the hotel as it was getting dark. And the more I walked back to where I thought the hotel was, the seedier the part of town looked where I was walking. Rough looking characters. Rough looking men. Rough looking women. And I forgot which side of the river I was on. And you know, let me tell you, this is something you may not know, but everybody in the whole world doesn't speak English. The signs were in German of all things. And so it didn't necessarily help me. All I knew was that I was staying in the Gasthof Dietmann. So I finally worked up enough courage to walk up to the least dangerous looking fellow that I could find. And I said, sir, can you tell me how to get to the Gasthof Dietmann. And I said it very, very distinctly so that he might get the idea. He says, yes, you go down here to the next road and you turn to the right. His English was better than mine. But I can still remember how frightening it was to be in a foreign country where the language was different, where I didn't know where we were to go, and it was getting dark, and the more I walked, the worse the country looked. You ever felt that way about your spiritual life? So lost, you didn't know which way to turn. You tried one thing and that didn't work. And you tried something else and that didn't work. And you tried something else. And the further you go trying to find human solutions to spiritual problems, the more lost you get. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He came to hunt you down. He came to find you in your lost condition. And be able to take you and comfort you in His bosom so that you might be able to be safe and be drawn back home with Him. Do you feel lost today? If you're lost today, we found the solution in that balm that's in Gilead, in that physician that's there, in the great physician, who came to seek and save not just the lost. He came to seek and save you. Will you listen to Him this morning? Will you come to Him and let Him find you? In the fourth chapter of the book of Luke, in verse 18, there we see that our great physician also came to be somewhat of a liberator. Chapter 4 and verse 18, there Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's gone to Nazareth, and there He asked for the scroll of Isaiah. And He reads from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Jesus was the great liberator. He found us bound. Slaves, prisoners. But the whole purpose of why He came, as He proclaims here in that Nazareth synagogue, was so that He might come and set me to proclaim release to the captives. The first time you sinned, you became a prisoner or a slave to Satan. And the sad thing is, there's nothing you could do to avoid that situation once he had gotten you in his clutches. No matter how good you became after that, it still was something in which the burden of sin that you bore was something that condemned you to an eternity with him. But Jesus came not only to seek and save the lost, but He came to proclaim release to the captives. He came to set you free. We're told in John 8 and verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's what Jesus came to do. He knew the situation we were in. He knew how hopeless our situation was. But you know what He did? He came so that He might be the great liberator, the one who would set us free from what bound us and put us in a situation where instead of being bound by Satan, we could be free in Him. Do you want that this morning? Are you looking for that kind of physician? Do you need that kind of balm in your life? In 1 John, the first chapter in verse 7, we're told that if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. This great physician came not only to do the other things we've described, but to cleanse the polluted. And boy, sin pollutes us. Have you ever been just so dirty you felt like the first thing you needed to do was soak in the bathtub? I remember my dad, first time he ever went to India, he had been in walking on the streets of some of the big cities, Mumbai, Delhi, Chennai, and with perhaps not the same kind of pollution control that we have here, and with a situation in which it was different, he got to London and had a little bit of a layover. He said the first thing he did was after he had got back, he went and he got in the bathtub and he soaked. And he said there was just a scum of black all over the top of the water from the pollution in the air and what he had walked on. He drained the water out and filled it back up and bathed again. Have you ever been so dirty or greasy? You just felt, I need something to cleanse me. Have you ever been so dirty spiritually that you longed for somebody who would be able to take that heart of yours that had been blackened by sin and make it so that you could be clean once again? That's what Jesus does for us. The blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all sin. I know you may doubt if it's all of it, but all sin can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. What you have to do is come to it in faith and obedience so that you might be able to have the wonderful cleanliness that's provided for our polluted souls. In the third chapter of the book of Colossians, in verse 11, there we see the Apostle Paul again talking about something that this great physician can provide for us. The balm and the healing that can be provided by Him. He talks about a renewal that we could have in Christ Jesus. He says a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and freeman, but Christ is all and in all. Jesus came to make it so that the distinctions that we think are so important in this world are distinctions that fade away in the love of God provided for us in Christ Jesus. There are no limitations based on your physical appearance, your ancestry, your class, your economic status that would put you in a situation to where you are beyond the realm of what God can do for you in Jesus. In fact, in the first century, when you talked about somebody being a Scythian, that was as barbaric as they could imagine. The Scythians lived north of the Black Sea, and they were a people that even the Greeks thought were savages. I remember Herodotus reading in his histories one time. He talked about the Scythians were so barbaric that they drank their wine unmixed. Most people in the Mediterranean drank their wine mixed with water as a table beverage. In Scythia, they drank it for the purpose of getting drunk. There are also people who were barbaric in other ways. I've seen a picture of a drinking goblet that the Scythians made that they gilded with gold. But it wasn't made of the normal things that you would imagine a goblet would be made of. It was made out of the top of a man's skull. Can you imagine cleaning that out? Gilding it with gold and just using it as something to be able to drink your unmixed wine from? But notice what he says. No distinction between Greek and Jew. No distinction between circumcised and uncircumcised. No distinction between barbarians. That was the people that weren't civilized enough to speak Greek. Even Scythians. No distinction between slave and free man. But Christ is all and in all. Christ is not only for all, but Christ is all and in all. We can be one in Christ Jesus. We can serve as parts of a body with Him as His head, in spite of how divided the world may want to make us. We can be one in Him. And we can be one with Him. Do you long for that? We need to be a people who look out for others and recognize that the distinctions that often exist in this world exist in the mind and in the DNA sometimes of people around about us, but mean absolutely nothing to the one who loved us and gave Himself up for us. Do you long for someone who can be your all in all? I'm here to tell you today, ladies and gentlemen, that there is balm in Bowling Green. There is a physician there, and it's not me. But it's the Master I serve, who's willing to be able to be rest for the weary and life for the dead and salvation for the lost and a liberator for the bound, cleansing for the polluted. And for a person who may not know what direction they're going, who may have no purpose in life, He can be your all in all and longs to be. But He won't force you to be. The final choice is yours. Will you come this morning and accept the balm that Jesus, the great physician, offers? Will you come in faith and show it through repentance? Will you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Will you be baptized so that your sins can all be washed away and you can be added to the Lord's church and you can become His child? I'm here to tell you there's a balm in Bowling Green. If you as a child of God haven't lived as you should, the very same things that He could provide on your initial obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ can be provided for you if you confess your sins to Him. If you repent of the things that you've done that are wrong, He can again be your all in all. But He's not going to make you. You have to make the choice. And we call upon you to make that choice now while together we stand and sing. Wonder.